The Independent Drivers Guild is a machinist union affiliate and represents about 65,000 for-hire vehicle drivers in New York City. It bills itself as the first nonprofit labor organization to negotiate with rideshare companies, the first also to offer some protections that you might see with unions benefiting some of these workers. And we're happy to have Jim Conigliaro with us this morning to talk a little bit about this. Jim, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about IDG. It makes sense that an organization like this exists. What is your mission here? What's your goal?
Yeah, I think the problem we came to, in New York at least, is that, you know, most of these drivers are labeled independent contractors, and that's the business model. But, you know, under federal laws, they can't join traditional unions. They've been stopped from joining traditional unions. And so the only thing they could do is come together in an organization, and in this case, a nonprofit organization. So we can just bring drivers together under one roof and just tell their stories, advocate for them, and get their stories out about their struggles and their desires in the industry.
It's important to recognize that line that you just mentioned there. It seems sort of like a blurry line, doesn't it? And if workers are able to join a group like yours but not a union, it seems like they can walk right up to the line there, right?
Yeah, I mean, so good parts and bad parts about that. It's, being an independent contractor, completely unregulated. That's both on, you know, the business side of things and on the labor side of things. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that they can do. They're not restricted in any way in kind of labor organizing, but it does have a few more negatives than it has positives, unfortunately.
I mentioned there that you have been able to organize some folks to come to your organization. Mm-hmm. How is that? How have you been doing that, and what kinds of people have been joining, and how have you been helping them?
Yeah, I mean, so in New York City, these are traditional full-time drivers. So a lot of drivers were here before Uber, before Lyft, and the Machinist Union was organizing these drivers for a long time, the last 20 years. So we were lucky enough to have a foothold on the industry. But you know what? Other than that, it's really traditional work. It's canvassing. It's a lot of people at airports, a lot of meetings at right in front of the Uber offices, and then a lot of technology. You know, technology has helped labor as well. There's a lot of text messaging. There's a lot of emails, Facebook groups. So we've been lucky in that regard to have this group of people and drivers that are really, tech savvy, that can reach out to us and organize, digitally.
One of the big successes early on was with tipping. Explain how you were able to help some of these drivers with tipping in New York.
Yeah, so New York City is unique that we have a regulatory body that looks after its drivers and the industry. And a lot of cities don't have that. It's typically done by their city councils or no one sometimes. And so in New York City, we have this regulatory body where we found a kind of a law written a long time ago that you can petition this regulatory body to create a rule. And the rule we wanted was to allow tips to be given on the Uber platform. If you remember, Uber used to say, if you wanted a tip, you can give it in cash. as our times changed, people don't carry cash anymore. And so, this was a really small ask, we thought, but the companies refused to do it. So we went through our process in New York City, and, it turned into the first rule in the country and eventually led to Uber and Lyft providing tips on the platform across the country, which has diverted millions of dollars back to drivers' pockets.
One of the other things that you're fighting on, too, now, one of the other issues is being able to opt out of Uber Pool. Explain to us what's going on there.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a... we said they're independent contractors, but there's a lot of requirements, and they're under the rules. And it's doing these group rides where you have multiple people in your car at the same time. And the rides are cheaper, and they're harder for drivers to do. You have to deal with multiple passengers in the car that might not get along. And so it's different work. And so all we wanted was drivers to have a choice. But really, all these things are just, small smaller victories in light of the bigger one that we're really trying to get. That'll be coming up next week in New York City, which is minimum pay. And so we have a minimum wage protection bill in front of the Taxi Limousine Commission in New York City. And if that goes through, drivers will get a 22.5% raise and a guaranteed minimum wage, which would be the first one in the country that'll set a minimum wage. And we hope that'll be a kind of a blueprint for cities and states across the country.
Yeah, and that's the reason we're speaking with you today, the big reason we're speaking with you, because really, as New York is the biggest operator, biggest city for Uber and Lyft, obviously because of its size, the rest of the country, cities like Chicago, are watching what happens there to, as you mentioned, put that blueprint in place in other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, I think you have places like Chicago, Los Angeles, Seattle, some of the more heavily populated areas where, you know, these drivers are typically driving full time. You know, it's not like the, you know, in some parts of the company, it might actually be ride sharing, somebody sharing their car. But, you know, in certain parts of the country, these are people that are driving full time. They're struggling to survive. You know, a J.P. Morgan study came out last week that said, you know, drivers in the sector and transportation sectors' wages are down 53% in the last 5 years. And so we have to watch that. We have to watch and to make sure these companies don't take advantage of the people living in our communities.
And there's something else on the horizon, too. I know we've reported on this program about how cities like New York and Chicago, New York especially, may be considering limiting the number of these ride-sharing cars that get to be in highly populated, you know, areas like Manhattan, you know, downtown Chicago, other big cities. So that's on the horizon as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a complicated issue because, at least in New York, the congestion, I'm sure in other cities, the congestion is awful. And it's how do we deal with it? You know, and you want to be careful because you don't want to create another medallion type system like we have in taxis that, you know, force these inflated prices and then the drop in price that led to a lot of drivers struggling. So you want to limit it in some way. But you want to be careful the system that you create because, you know, it might not work at the end. So it is a complicated issue. But, you know, in New York, you're right. We were lucky enough to at least hit the pause button. So we have, you know, look, there's no more cars on the road. Let's figure out what the best route to take is.
You know, I mentioned, Jim, how New York, as goes New York, sometimes goes the rest of the country and other big cities. is there an organization like yours that would be replicated in other big cities like Chicago, or are you looking to perhaps represent folks all over the country?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're looking to lend a hand. I mean, it's really tough, you know, to organize resources-wise across the country. But, we, you know, we're partnering with a lot of local groups, and we're trying to show them what we're doing here in New York City. To show them a way. And of course, we're always gathering signatures on our website, drivingguild.org, you know, from other cities and states to see where the most drivers that need help are. But yeah, we'd love to expand. We're constantly looking for partners in other cities and states that we can lend a hand to.
People are probably listening, maybe even some Uber and Lyft drivers right now saying, okay, unions generally require me to pay something in return. Are there dues? Yeah. What does the driver contribute in return?
There's different levels of membership. I think, you know, at first, you know, we always tell people just sign up, learn about the organization. There are eventually there are voluntary dues. We don't push them. You know, one of our goals is to create an organization that could sustain itself without, you know, these mandatory dues like we've seen in other traditional unions. So, you know, we do a lot through education. We do a lot through benefit administration. But, yeah, there are voluntary dues. But at the end of the day, it's power in numbers. So we tell people, look, just join the organization, get on our list, and volunteer. That's more important than anything.
All right, Jim, good of you to be with us today. All the best to you and everybody at your organization.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the time.
Jim Conagliaro with us this morning, who is the founder of the Independent Drivers Guild. Again, you can find them online at drivingguild.org.